This is Max and Friends, and I am your host, Max Tucci. Welcome to Max and Friends and LA Talk Radio. Happy Father's Day, fathers. Tonight, I dedicate this show to, of course, my father, Mario Tucci, who's no longer with us here on this earth, but in spirit he lives. And if you're interested in his story, buy the book Big Shoes in Celebration of Dads and Fatherhood by Al Roker and Friends. I'm one of his friends. It's a great book, and it's out in bookstores. You can get it on Amazon, Hyperion. What is it? Hyperion Books? Oh, boy, just one of those days. But listen, everyone, you heard the intro. That was Monroe King. Y'all know her. She's been here on the show before. February 1st, 2009. Go back to those archives. And anyway, Monroe King, she's going to have her song, Fashionista, that we debuted here on The City, June 22nd at 10:30 p.m. So check your local listings for The City. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Yeah. We got a bunch of listeners listening tonight, and they're always typing me and Skyping me, not Skyping me, Twittering me, T-Mobile, sidekicking me, and they all want to do shout-outs. So I've only found it appropriate that we're going to do a shout-out tonight. And the shout-out that inspires me tonight, and a dedication, is obviously to the fathers. And y'all know our buddy Sophie B. Hawkins. Please go to sophiebhawkins.com, the land, the sea, the sky. She's donating all the proceeds to the Gulf. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on with the Gulf. So real quick, before we go any further, I want you all to do me one big favor, because we're gonna figure this out, this oil spill that's devastating. But if we all just visualize for a moment the healing energy in the universe being pulled into the Gulf of Mexico, we're going to saturate the waters with the healing energy of light and love. And we're going to visualize our healing intentions rippling outward in all directions. Send streams of laser light to clean the water for sea life to flourish again. So Sophie B. Hawkins has inspired me to do that through Water Keepers as well. So I want to give them a nice, good shout out. But I promised Sophie B. Hawkins that we would be playing the song As I Lay Me Down. You all know it's a famous song. She's timeless. She is Sophie B. Hawkins, our buddy, after all, Sophie B. Hawkins. Anyhow, Sophie B. Hawkins wrote that song As I Lay Me Down. And when she was on our show for Mother's Day, you know, she was talking about her daddy and how she missed him and how he passed away. And so I told her that in the future we'd dedicate the song As I Lay Me Down for her father, Mr. Hawkins. So tonight on LA Talk Radio, for all you fathers, fathers-to-be, fathers who are no longer with us, we thank you for the gift of life in which you gave us. Because without fathers, we wouldn't be here. And to all the mothers who've also played the role as fathers, thank you. Nonetheless, here on Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio, we're going to play a great song. And right after that song, we're going to have our first guest, Barton Brooks, come on. And he's going to tell us about how he was coined the one-man international aid organization by Oprah, Oprah.com. So stay tuned, because we've also got a guru coming on. Plus, Tamara's going to get into the studio. We just got a lot going on. So tonight on Max and Friends for Father's Day and for Mr. Hawkins, we thank Sophie for writing this song, As I Lay Me Down by Sophie B. Hawkins on Max and Friends.
It felt like springtime on this February morning. In the courtyard, birds were singing your praise. I'm still recalling things you said to make me feel alright. I carry them with me today now as I lay me down to sleep. As I pray, you will hold me dear. Though I'm far away, I'll whisper your name.
As I Lay Me Down by Sophie B. Hawkins. That's the song we dedicate to all our fathers out there, because Sophie, when she was on the show last time, she said, Max, next time you play that song, can you dedicate it to my father? So on Father's Day, we thought that was the most appropriate thing to do. Sophie B. Hawkins, thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you so much for inspiring us to get the golf cleaned up, Sophie B. Hawkins at Waterkeepers. Now, y'all, speaking of being inspired to do one thing with Waterkeepers, I thought tonight would be a good night to have something inspirational. Men who inspire, so to say, for Father's Day, because they're out there. You just have to look. So someone had sent me a website called GorillaAid.com. And right away, here at Max and Friends and LA Talk Radio, we're like, this guy's got something good. So I said, we have to bring Barton Brooks on so he can tell the world what he's doing with Gorilla Aid and why Oprah, that's right, y'all know the big O, how she coined him a one-man international aid organization. So, you know what? We go right to the source here on Max and Friends. Tamara Bowman's running a little bit late, my co-host, but that's because it's Father's Day and she went to go see her father and she's stuck in traffic because you know how professional she is. I'm kidding. I love you, Tamara. Hurry up. I know she's listening right now on her iPhone because they call tune in there. But we go right to the source here. So what better way to have Gorilla Aid be explained to you than by the founder? So we're going to welcome on Barton Brooks. Welcome to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Well, we're so glad you're here because right away when we saw your website, we were like, this is good. This is a good thing. And we like good things here. So tell us a little bit about Gorilla Aid and how you got started, because you're just like all over the world.
Yeah, it means a lot. Thanks a lot. I got started doing it just because I couldn't find an organization where I could do something really specific. Everything seemed really big and really vague, and like I couldn't get anything really done. And so I decided to start my own thing, and have been traveling around the world for the past 5 years, creating and building and finishing projects as I go. It's actually pretty simple to do. Just go somewhere, figure out what they need, and have them do it.
Well, you're doing it because you're like doing it all over the land, though. You're in Africa, you're in Nepal, you're in Asia, you're like in Haiti, you're just everywhere.
Well, the world's a big place, you know?
It is.
A lot of places to go.
And you're going to cover every territory? Every territory?
That's the plan eventually, yeah.
Is that the plan?
I hope so. It's, you know, might be not doable completely, but it would be nice.
Well, it would be nice. And you know what? By the looks of it, you're doing it because guys, everyone, go to GorillaAid.com. And Barton Brooks, you're on Facebook too, so people can see what's going on there, right?
Correct.
So now tell me what, like, you get inspired to go and to help you're helping so many people, but you're helping continents, you're helping the world, you're helping humanity. And you take a camera with you, and you end up, let's say you end up in Uganda. What's the first thing you do when you land in Uganda?
Well, like, I try to get to a small community. I'm a really small organization, you know, one-man aid organization. And so when you get somewhere, like, I try to find a small community, and then you just start talking to people. You know, you wander around the villages, and you kind of get a little bit of, put your finger on the pulse of the communities themselves and see what's most needed. Do they need clean water the most? Do they need some sort of nutrition for the children? Do they need some sort of education? And once you kind of figure out what their greatest need is at that time, then you can kind of figure out where you can help. And that's just kind of how I do it. It's really quite simple. For example, we're in Uganda, and we found that the major need there was none of the children were getting any sort of protein. They had a few potatoes to eat a day, but there was no protein. And so we thought we'd do a chicken project, and we ended up, you know, building chicken pens and putting, you know, over 1,000 chickens in this community. So every child in the entire region was getting an egg a day at least to provide the protein needs. And that was done, and it fixed, you know, fixed that problem. So it can be really simple like that.
Now, how do you get people to go with you? Or are you just doing your one-man show?
I usually go myself. I mean, I oftentimes will have friends come along, or some people that have loved on the website said, you know, I'm ready to go the next thing. Unfortunately, I can't afford to pay to have people come with me, but I have had people join me in, you know, in Haiti or Africa. And then they just come along and do it.
So you're doing your thing. One continent at a time, one-man show. But money always is a mood changer. So how can people donate if they feel the need to?
Well, on GorillaAid.com, that's Gorilla as in Gorilla Warfare, GuerrillaAid.com. Right now we're working on schools in Haiti, and we've got our third school just starting under construction right now. Matter of fact, out of the $1.3 billion that was raised for Haiti, for Haiti Rebuild, we had the first school that was completely rebuilt in the entire country. And that's, you know, for me, is kind of proof that, you know, one person, a small group of people, can make a difference. And these people, you know, these big organizations raised, you know, $1.3 billion, and I raised like $25,000-$30,000, and we were the first school to reopen.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we've got school number three under construction, and we found that in Haiti right now at that, that's the greatest need, because we can keep the kids occupied during the day and then provide a shelter at night for some of the families that have lost their houses in the earthquake. So we're trying to tackle some things like that right now.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Haiti, because, you know, here we've had Melky Jean, Wyclef's sister, and Melky's been on the show, and she's always talking about Haiti and how much help it needs right now. So when we clicked on your page, it's like the first thing that comes up, our next school in Haiti. So you're doing your thing there, and you're asking, we need your help. So how can we help?
Well, right now, financially, I mean, if you're in the Jacmel region, you're welcome to stop by, you know, email me, tell me that you're in Jacmel, and I'll tell you where the school is being rebuilt, and you can go carry cinder blocks if you'd like. But right now, we just need donations. That's the thing that we're struggling with the most. We were able to build the first two schools, which is great, but now we're working on the third, and we don't quite have the funding.
So let's put it out there. How much are you looking for?
Right now, we can do this entire school community center for around $30,000 to $35,000. Just depends on what the materials in Haiti fluctuate a lot right now based on everyone trying to rebuild now. But that's the estimate where we're basically to right now for our third school.
Well, you know what? My co-host just got into the studio. She just put her headset on. So, Tamara Bowman, say hi to Barton.
Hi, Barton.
How are you, Tamara?
Amazing. How cool to have you on the show with us tonight. It's awesome.
You know, Tamara, Barton is the one-man show. He's changing the world one man, one continent at a time, so to say. And,
that's,
you know,
incredible.
When we got his website, we all just went crazy here. And we're like, we got to have him on because we need people who are inspirational. You know, and it always, you know, it takes one person to make a difference, and Barton is that one person. So we need to let people know. Right, Tamara?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Barton, let me ask
you
a question. We do, right? We love it all. But now, Barton, let me ask you a quick question. Out of all these countries you've been to, is there like one of your most passionate or inspirational stories that you want to share with us? Or what has inspired you the most out of all these countries?
Well, obviously Haiti was amazing because the way the world responded was, you know, really beautiful. Obviously a lot to do there. But for me personally, I think Southeast Asia, particularly Cambodia, is what inspires me the most. Because the villagers there, the people there, they know exactly what they need to take their lives a step further. I'm not saying everybody, but you can walk around these villages and say, you know, find a woman and say, what do you need? And she'll be like, well, if I had two water jars, some seeds, and a bike, my life would change. And she'll tell you, you know, like, if I had seeds for my garden, then water jars to store rainwater, then I could water my garden. Then if I had a bike, I could bike those vegetables into the village, and then I could, like, make some money and, you know, be able to afford rice for my kids. And they have all these women, these little communities, they know exactly what they want. And so for me to be back in Cambodia, I can say, you know, what do you need? And we can change someone's life in 3 hours with $90. And so by the time you leave the community after a couple of weeks, and all these women, you've actually made their plan come true. I don't really like going into countries or communities for people to say, well, I don't know, I mean, can you give us some food? Can you give us some money or whatever else? And, you know, they're all kind of in, you know, chat for a while, but, and then, I usually don't find a thing to do there because I like to go to communities that actually see their own future in their own minds, because when you can actually help them accomplish their own goals, then they feel much more empowered. And you're not as like some, you know, rich American that came in and gave them money. You're looked at someone who enabled them to fulfill their dream. And that's what's the most fun for me. And I find that Southeast Asia, those people there usually have an idea of what they need to make their lives better.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry,
that's beautiful. I love you can tell the passion in your voice about what really moves you. And is there any one person that you look to as a mentor that, like, whether it was like Mother Teresa or, you know, I mean, is there somebody that you just went, that inspires me. I want to follow in their footsteps, or, you know, is there someone like that for you?
There are a few people that put on my mind often. One is Margaret Mead, just, you know, back in the 30s, anthropologist, who I love the way she worked. But current day, I'll be, I don't know, maybe cliche and say Angelina Jolie. I watch, never have I seen a celebrity do so much with their celebrity power and still remain so amazingly dedicated to the refugees around the world. And I was, you know, insanely fortunate to meet her in a refugee camp in Haiti two or three months ago. And it was, you know, that was, for me, was my greatest days. I was a bumbling idiot. I walked up to her and I was like, it's just like vomiting words out of my mouth and trying to apologize for approaching her, but then just thanking her, because the reason that I started this whole thing was watching her special on Cambodia, talking about Cambodia and some things that she was doing there. So that was why I went to Cambodia the first time. And that sparked my whole interest. So yeah, she's kind of a big deal to me.
Wow, you know, for having such a big heart and doing what you do, you're awfully handsome. Do you hear that a lot?
see, Tamara's got a flirt. Tamara always flirts with the guests, Barton. I think I told you that.
You're very sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, do you hear that a lot?
I've heard that. I always say, you know, you should see my mother. She's beautiful.
That's a good save there, Barton.
It's so true.
So humble art thou.
It's so true. Yeah.
But nonetheless, Tamara, there's great. Even if you guys don't donate, but you want to be inspired by someone, Guerrilla 8 is the place to be inspired, because there's a blog there, there's photos there, there's the life of Barton Brooks, and it shows how he gives back to this world and how simple one person can make a difference. So, Barton, we want to thank you today on Father's Day for being a man that's made a difference to the world.
Hey, thank you guys so much. Excellent. I just want to say, you know, it doesn't need to be me. Anyone can do this. Anyone around the world, whether you're on vacation in Cancun or in Paris, you can look around and find a way to volunteer.
Well, the truth is, anyone can do it, but Barton, you're doing it. So, we salute you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on as well.
Absolutely. And we look forward to seeing how Guerrilla Aid grows and develops in the future, and we're going to keep an eye on you.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right. Have a great night, Barton.
You too. Thanks.
Bye.
Good night.
So, everyone, you are listening to, what are they listening to, Ronan? This is Max and Friends, and I'm your host, Max Tucci, and I've got my divine co-host, Tamara.
Oh, yes, Tom.
Happy Father's
Day. I'm here
Day,
with
Tamara.
You, baby.
You're a mother
Thank
and a father
so-
to Benji, so happy Father's Day to Benji.
Yes, Mr. Benji, he's my boy.
Now, I missed you in the opening, but do you want to say happy Father's Day to anybody?
Happy Father's Day, Dad, out there. He is just so precious. You know, he survived throat cancer this last year, and it's a miracle that we have him here with us. So we're
he is
just so grateful.
Happy Father's Day, Tamara's dad.
Absolutely.
Right? Now, I've got to also say happy Father's Day to my grandfather, Oscar Tucci. It's because of Oscar Tucci that, of course, we have Oscar's Del Monaco and Oscar's Del Monaco Vodka. So thank you, Oscar Tucci, Grandpapa, and my grandfather, Julius. Happy Father's Day to all of you. You know what? It's nice. Everyone's like, well, like, I have no grandfathers and no fathers. So everyone's like, what are you going to do for Father's Day? I'm like, I'm going to rejoice, because they don't need to be here for me to celebrate them. And they're here anyway. You know, everywhere I look, it's a reminder of them. When I look in the mirror, I am them. So if your fathers aren't here, everyone, and they're no longer part of you, look in the mirror, because your father resembles who you are. So on that note, happy Father's Day. Now, Tamara, how cool, Barton. Mm-hmm. Barton is a cool guy with Guerrilla Aid, man. He's doing his thing. And I was like, what a better way to have a show on Father's Day than have men inspire people? Because everyone says men are this, men are that, men are this, men are that. No, there are men out there that are inspiring, that are cool, that are doing their thing, and that, you know, there are some big shoes to fill.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. For you too, Max. I mean, look what you're stepping into. Look at what a rich heritage that you come from, Max. And you just shine and stand as a pillar for all of them. It's almost like, you know, they're watching the sunrise and the sunset in you. And I just, I love that. And you were out at the cemetery today.
Yeah, I was.
Max, did I lose you?
No, I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah, what was that like for you?
No, you know what? I mean, it's something that my sister and I think Italians do this often. We have this cute mausoleum. So we go there, and it's just like a place where we can go and hang out and talk, you know, and be like, Daddy, help me with this, or Grandpa, help me with that. And it's just got like a nice, peaceful vibe there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's that. But I'm not the person that dwells or has sorrow to death. I celebrate life, you know?
Yes.
That's what we have to do, is celebrate life, not mourn death. Celebrate life.
No.
You know?
I love that.
Now, I'm
going to
say
think about how much more help. Oh, go ahead.
No, tell me what you're saying, sweetheart.
No, think about how much more help is available to you from the world beyond, just knowing that your relatives they're unlimited in the way they influence and impact you now.
That's the truth.
It's just really good. Yeah.
Well, I've got to say hi to Mike, to Victor, and Ada. Thank you, Ada, for sending me that email about the Gulf and how we're going to visualize the Gulf into cleaner waters. So thank you for sending that to me. Anyhow, I've got to ask you a question, Tamara, because everyone, you're listening to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Max Tucci, and my co-host, Tamara Bowman. Now, Tamara, did you ever imagine living in a cave for 3 years?
Holy crap. No.
And 100 of those 8 days in solitude?
Oh, no way. No way.
Well, our next guest, Guru, Swamiji Baladu, is coming on. And we're going to find out what it was like to live in a cave, be a guru, and then give it all up, because you know that as humans, we're all equal. So it's kind of something that we preach here on Max and Friends. So, Ronan, let's get our next guest, Mike, pulled up so we can have Swami G on Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. This is going to be good, Tamara. I'm excited.
This is going to be so good. Oh, my
gosh. Isn't
it?
So,
oh, my gosh.
We're going to get him up on the air right now. So,
hello.
Hello, Swami G. Welcome to Max and Friends. This is Max and my co-host Tamara here, and we salute you and thank you for being on our show tonight. How are you?
Very nice. Very good. Thank you, Max. And I'm here joining you.
Wow. Wow, we are so blessed. Thank you for joining us. What an honor. You know, there's something extraordinary, I believe, that happens with people who just sequester themselves off from any distractions of this world in any way, shape, or form. I think that there's some kind of pipeline that plugs in, and you are like one with God, one with us, one with the universe. Tell us, I mean, what was that experience like? I just can't imagine.
So, Swami G, how was it to live in a cave for 3 years?
Oh, it was fantastic. I can say this. It was amazing time of my life. And I often hear this question, and I have only one word. It was amazing.
I do believe it was amazing. Now, when you're in this cave, explain to people, because you have a rich history with your father also being such an impact and such a phenomenal man to society, and you're following in his steps, and you become a guru. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your life and introduce yourself to my listeners?
Yeah, actually, I had no other choice. I grew up and born in that kind of family. So my father and grandfather both were very popular personality in India. And so grown up in this family, so I got this inheritance, you can say. So from my teenage, I was very successful and was having their crowd of 20, 30,000 people in my lectures and had many disciples and followers. So you can say from my 15, 16 age to 25 until I went in cave. So there was many followers and disciples. But when I went in cave, so that living was Very different. I had the idea, nobody should see me, I don't see anybody, and I don't hear anything, and I don't talk to anybody. Because, you know, concept is this, the senses in the body are gateways from where this world go inside and mind start chattering and we lose our concentration. So my idea was this, if I can block these three ways, if I don't see anybody, and it means this eyes, and if I don't hear anything means ears, and if I don't talk, so means tongue. So I wanted to block these three ways and wanted to concentrate on my aim in mantras, what I wanted to do. So for 3 years and 108 days, I was doing 16 hours a day, just my mantras practice. And there was no light, and when I went in, then they sealed that wall with bricks. And after 3 years and 108 days, when they broke that wall, then I came out. And that was also an amazing shock, because you can imagine when you don't see light, or there was no sunlight, and you don't see any human face or birds or open sky, and then when you come out after more than 3 years, and then there were suddenly 30,000 people and so much light and noise, and I thought, oh my God, I want to go back again in cave. So it
my
was very
goodness,
shocking.
That's amazing. How did you eat? And then, I mean, did they just give you food, or how'd that work?
Yeah, actually, there was one hole in L shape, 1 foot by 1 foot hole. And from that hole, they could put their milk and buttermilk and water, because for 1.5 year I was taking fruits and vegetables, but rest of the nearly 2 years I was taking only liquid diet, which is milk and buttermilk. So they could put in that slit, but they could not see me. And then I could take from inside. So it is still there if you come and travel anytime India. So you can see that cave is still there. And many times we have visitors from America also, from Europe also. So you are most welcome.
My goodness. Well, you know, now,
Deborah, I was just watching. It's a little bit easier also because you don't have to go to India to meet Swamiji. You can go right to Central Park, because every day there's a yoga section between 6:30 and 7:30 p.m. in Central Park in New York, and it's right near the zoo entrance. You literally go into the zoo, make a right, and it's in the lawn there, and Swamiji is there, and you're doing mantras and yoga. And how are you embracing living in New York City after living in a cave? You're now in the Gotham City, and you're in Central Park, and people are coming to you because they know about you, and they know that you're such a man of wisdom and healing, and they find you in Central Park. How are their experiences? Or how is your experience with them?
Oh, it's nice. I'm enjoying here, and it's my life, you know, in this way. I'm traveling since my childhood around the world, and so it's my usual life. So each after a few days, I change country or place or town, so new people, new town, and yeah, it's nice always to meet people and have a live experience with them. And here in New York also, it is nice. Central Park, I love it. Their atmosphere, and it is just you are in the forest in middle of the town. So it's really great. And yeah, people are also nice. And people are, I think, in this way, in yoga and in mantras, they are understanding the power of this and becoming more and more conscious. So it is very nice and positive to see.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so now when you first came out of the cave, you said, oh, all the noise, you wanted to go back in it. What made you want to give it up being in the cave? Because I understand that there can be just some beautiful spiritual experiences with God. So do you still have those, or what was that like when you were in the cave and you had that, and why did you give it up?
You know, these experiences, how these experiences was, I always say, when I get this question, you know, this is like this. If I give you something to eat, sweet or chocolate, and I ask you, oh, how it was, how it is, you will say, oh, delicious, very tasty, sweet. Mm-hmm. But you can't really describe it, how much joy or charm or you are getting after eating this. So same, it was like this, how I can say it was amazing, incredible, wonderful, but I can't really describe it how it was. Maybe you have to go in cave for knowing this.
Now, Swami,
well,
let
you
me
know,
ask. Sorry, Tamara?
Yeah, no, go ahead, love.
No, Swamiji, I'm going to ask you, you know, in this cave, you've discovered that as humans, we're all equal. So you come out and you kind of say, okay, I'm going to give up the term or the word guru.
Yeah.
Why did you choose to do that?
Yeah, actually, you know, after cave, it changed whole my personality, whole my perception, how I was used to see this world. And then afterwards, I thought, hey, nobody is higher or nobody is lower. We all are equal, all are same. Same soul energy is moving in all of us. Then why these differences are there? And I said, hey, I don't want to be guru. I don't want to be master, so I don't want to have followers, I don't want to start any tradition. And you know, this was the reason actually why I came to West, why I started traveling to West, because in India, this all followers and disciples, they were like attacking, and they were thinking, oh, he is something and this and this. And there was, you, as I told you, there was 30,000 people when I came out. So I got in that time one phone call from one of my friends from Germany, and he said, oh, Swamiji, you would like to come to Germany? I said, oh, yes. So I escaped India, and I was living, trying to live more and more in West, so in Europe. So this was the reason, and I don't want to be guru. I just want to be normal friend, you know. And I think we all are same. Why to be guru or follower? And actually, what is happening here, if you see from in America also, I see many, many Indian people are coming, and the Swamis or Guru, they come and they want to make here followers. And now what is happening, many Westerners also, they get fascinated by this Guru culture and this with the Indian culture, and they also want to be Guru, and they also want to have followers and disciples. And especially America is very marketing country. Everything is very much commercialized here. If you see yoga, it is selling as a brand name. There is no yoga at all. Actually, essence of yoga is gone in this all big yoga names or commercial shops, or I say supermarket, spiritual supermarket is opening. There is everything you can buy by money. So there is not really any essence of spirituality or yoga or love or compassion is left, unfortunately. But you know, my idea is not to start any tradition or establish any brand name. Or here people come from India in last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and then they gave one class and then started, oh, this yoga or this yoga or this yoga or this yoga. I tell you truth, I am doing yoga since I was 4 years old, and in India I never heard any name of yoga. When I came West, then I got to know, oh, Here is thousands of yoga. People ask me, oh, Swamiji, from what tradition you are? I say, hey, come on, don't ask me this. I do only yoga. I don't follow any tradition, and I don't want to start any tradition. So for me, yoga is yoga only. Original yoga is yoga, and that I want to tell people. But, you know, here is so many shops and so many market. And
absolutely. Now, you know, Swamiji, my grandmother is 84 years old, and she's been doing yoga for the last 40 years, and she says exactly what you say. She said, yoga is yoga, breath is breath, life is life, and we should all become a part of it. So I say namaste to you. But, you know, Swamiji, now when you're, you know, what, everyone, go on Swamiji's website, okay? I'm going to spell it out for you, Jackie, so get ready. JAISIYARAM.com, okay? That's the website. And there you can learn about Swamiji. You have his blog there, his diary, so to say, his healing work, his workshops, chakras, the gallery, the ashram, charity. I mean, there's so much going on this page because, as you can imagine, America, being a guru, there's so much going on in your life. Just like he said, he came here to escape it all. But yet, we are so fascinated by cultures. And I mean, could you imagine an American going to live in a cage into a cave for 30 years? 30 years, 3 years, 5 years, whatever it may be. I don't think it would happen very well. So it takes a very special person.
30 minutes.
30 seconds, Tamara.
So, exactly.
Nonetheless, Swamiji, I'm fascinated by mantras. And I think when we opened the show, I read something very positive for right now what our country is going through with this oil spill, that we have to visualize a healing in the oceans. So I'm really...
I also heard this. It is really what is happening. It is horrible. And we all have to pray for this. And have to do something. And I think, you know, power of mantras, how I see this, this energy, how it works. You know, like how we are talking now, and this talk on radio is going on. If you see the logic or science behind it, what you are broadcasting, it is the signals are going out, and a person who are your listener, who are listening us, they have to tune their frequency in the same level as you are broadcasting, and when they tune up there, then they will be able to receive these waves. And that same in this theory, mantra also works. You know, if you want to attract some positive energy, so mantras, these words have this energy. Main thing is this, you have to tune your consciousness on the level of mantra, then you can get the benefit of mantra. And that's what, by the way, I was doing in the cave. I was doing healing work before also, in before cave, I mean. But I went in cave to work and practice and tune up myself, my consciousness with that specific mantra. And I had also many times people wonder also, how did you choose this time, 3 years and 108 days? So I had some calculation actually, and I wanted to do this mantra, this mantra, this mantra, this mantra, and some mantra take 3 months or 6 months or 108 days. So in this way, I had my calculation, and I thought in this period, I can do all my mantras. So that's how I decided this, and it was nice. Anyway, I was telling about mantra. I mean, you have to come on that level of consciousness, and that what I was chanting mantra all the time. And when I heard, one of my friend told me, and then I saw some pictures also, what is happening here in Gulf, and this all oil is spilling, and how much harming it is, and how much it can create. And when I saw and read a little bit, so I would like to just chant a mantra with all of you, and if you like.
We would love that. So everyone, we have Swamiji Belindu right now on Max and Friends, and we're going to do a mantra together with Swami as he listens, as he talks and speaks this mantra. Everyone, put yourself in a position where you can receive it so that we can change this world. We can change our inner self. We can change the moment that we're in right now. So Swamiji, I turn over the mic to you, and we would love to hear your mantra.
For especially for this situation and what is this happening, I would like to pray. Mantra is for me is nothing more than this is just prayer, and we all can pray for this what we are facing now. I would like to say Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah. Sarve santu niramaya, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kashchit dukha bhag bhavet. Mangalam Bhagavan Vishnu, Mangalam Garudadvaja, Mangalam Pundarikaksha, Mangalaya Tanayo Hare. A short description I would like to say in English. I would try to translate this. It is just pray to the universe, to this nature, please, everybody, they should be in peace, they should be in joy, and we should give something from us to this nature, and we all live in auspicious environment. We pray for this environment, for everybody's wellness. So this is the praying, this is the meaning of this mantra, what I was praying for all of us.
Well, we thank you for it, because I felt it, didn't you, Tamara?
You know what, it's universal. It's there's something when he started that is just so warming. It's just comforting inside your heart. Yeah.
It really, really is. And, you know, I've got to tell you that one thing that is so fascinating, and I love this quote, Swamiji, that you say, our destiny is love and love is the way.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite quotes of yours. I've read a lot of your website, and obviously that's the one that's right on the top of the page, but it's one that's just so true, that our destiny is love. And today on Father's Day here in America, you know, it's a culture where not a lot of people really love their fathers for some reason, and fathers in this country have such a bad rap. And I think that, you know, if we really examine those words, our destiny is love and love is the way, then today on Father's Day we could really celebrate the meaning of what fathers are. So I really admire that quote from you, Swamiji.
Nice.
Now, let's see. Speaking of mantras, everyone, what fascinates me most about Swamiji and his experience in the cave is there, he was so in tune to be able to create a mantra, especially for you. So you go onto his website, and this is very simple what you do. Go to the website, jaisiyaram.com. You can go right onto Max and Friends right here on Facebook. Don't forget to join my fan page there, because there you can find the website. Click on there. If you make a donation to – there's so many – Swamiji works with so many children, and if you make a donation, he will then – make a mantra especially for you. He will customize a mantra for you. So there's more to it. So you have to go to his website to discover how to do it. But Swamiji, I think that's such a miraculous thing that you can do. What inspires you now when you see someone's picture to create a mantra for them? Swami?
Yeah.
So what when you see someone's photo, what gives you the inspiration to do a mantra for them?
Yeah, actually, you know, I have myself experienced mantra, and mantra is my life. And I have got much, much benefit. I have seen and did many experiments with that and with many people also. And so I thought if I can help people in this way. So in website also we tried in this way. We have made mantra directory and I recorded many, many mantras what can help people for their different issues. So they can, it is categorized and you can choose mantra, you can learn it, even you can read, you can hear and you can download as MP3. And so it is very good. But if sometime if people want to get my personal help to choose mantra, if they cannot choose, so I am also here to help them, and they can tell me their personal issue and then I can choose mantra for them. And you know, for that also I don't ask any prize or money. I just ask them, please support this children charity projects what we are running in India.
Absolutely. Mm. Well, for more information, you can go to Swamiji's website. Before we wrap up this show, Tamara, because it's coming to that time where we have to wrap up, Swami, and it's been such a pleasure to have you on. Please don't go anywhere. Yes. I just have to make some shout-outs to pay the bills here. So, everyone, Delta.com is the way to fly. Check out Delta.com. Flights are on sale now. Also, today, BulletMagazine.com launches today. And check out Dr. Renee Matthews on Oprah. You know, she's doing that TV show right now, Who Wants to Have a TV Show. So check that out there. Thank you to Bart and Brooks. Mm. Stay tuned right after the show for CBS News. You're going to get what's going on in the world today. But what you need to know right now is what's going on here on Max and Friends. Tamara Bowman.
Yes, love.
Thank you for coming on. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out
there. Yes.
Swamiji, we want to thank you so much. But before we leave tonight's show, is it possible if you can do that mantra one more time so we here at Max and Friends can leave tonight's show with a resonating vibration of the world being healed?
Of course, of course.
And we thank you so much, Swamiji, for coming on tonight. We're going to definitely have you on again in the future so we can have more time with you, but we really appreciate your time for being on with us.
Yes.
So we thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
thank
now
you.
Swamiji again will be doing the mantra to heal this earth, so everyone sit back, relax, let the mantra resonate through your soul, and take life to the max this week. I thank you. Happy Father's Day. And Swamiji, please take the mic.
Sarve bhavantu sukhinah. Sarve santu niramaya. Sarve भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत् मंगलं भगवान् विष्णु मंगलं गरुडध्वज मंगलं पुंडरीकाक्ष Mangalayatanayo Hari. Thank you very much, Max, and everybody there. And I pray to my God, to this universe, to nature, for everybody's wellness. Thank you
and
very
thank
much.
Thank you, Swamiji. And everyone, if you're in New
thank
York, this
you.
Is Swamiji between 6:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. in Central Park. You can meet him there and you can really learn more about him and you can help change this world by yourself. So everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Make the world a better place. Tune into yourself. Tune into Max and Friends where we can help you do that. And remember, as always, take life to the max. Tamara Bowman, love you. Good night.
Love you. Good night.